Well, thank you so much for being part of our worship service this morning. Thank our choir and our praise team. Thank all of you for worshiping. If you brought your Bibles, please turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. There in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes. You'll find it right past Proverbs. And we want to look at Ecclesiastes 9. We're going to be sharing from Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4, verse 10. And a sermon that I've entitled, My Commitment to Serve. You know, this is the last Sunday of our church year, this year. We start a new church year, first Sunday in September. And so I wanted to share with you, speak to you, just a message in serving, about serving, my commitment to serve. So this morning, our subject is about serving God. So if you would, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we want to look at primarily two verses, verse 4 and then verse 10. And I'll try to tie those other verses in a few moments. Verse 4, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For everyone who's living, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity we've had and the time we've had to praise you. Lord, thank you for the music. Thank you for the hymns, the songs, praise songs. And Lord, thank you for speaking to our spirit through your spirit this morning. And now as we've opened your word, help us to understand your word. Allow your Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide as we focus upon this message that you've given me, my commitment to serve. Speak to our hearts as we evaluate our commitment and service to you and to our fellow man. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share with you about the subject of serving God. You know, I feel that most Christians have a vague ideal of what is involved in serving God. That's why we have so many who do so little in serving God. Someone has said most people would like to serve God, but only in an advisory capacity. They can tell you what things that need to be done. They can tell you how to do it and when to finish it. How many people do you know like that? Not you, but maybe other people are that way. And so listen to the message title, My Commitment. This is personal. This is about us individually. My commitment in doing what? In serving God. So how's that going for you right now? How's your commitment in serving God? How is that going for you? Is there even a commitment for serving God? I heard a story years ago, and I've shared it, I think, one other time in our church, but maybe you haven't. If you've heard this, then forgive me, but I thought it was real neat to use today. I heard this story about this little boy named Johnny, and he had trouble pronouncing the letter R. Now, when I thought of this, I thought of Judah, our little granddaughter. She has cerebral palsy, and she has trouble. Oh, she just won't do it. She had trouble, and then she just don't try at all now. But she has trouble in saying the number 7. And she can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10. She won't try it. And when she became 7, I said, how old are you? And she said, 6. I said, no, you're 7, 6. And so she has trouble saying 7. But little Johnny here, he had trouble pronouncing the letter R. So his teacher gave him a sentence to practice. And this is the sentence. Robert gave Richard a rap in the rib for roasting the rabbit so rare. And so he practiced that and practiced that. And so a few days later, she asked him if he would say that sentence to her. And so he rattled it off, and he said, Bob gave Dick a poke in the side for not cooking the bunny enough. He still wasn't going to say that R. And when I thought of that, I thought of Johnny did all he could do to avoid using that letter R. And so the point is, I'm afraid all of us at times do the same thing to avoid our commitment to serving the Lord Jesus. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon is an old man, and he's more aware now and concerned about the fact that one day soon, perhaps, he's going to die. Now, have you ever realized that yet? Have you ever realized that you're going to die? I was thinking about that this week. Thinking about when I'm going to die. You know, death is an unpleasant subject, and no one really likes to discuss the reality of death. But you have to understand that this life that we're living in here is a preparation room to get ready for death. It's a preparation room. Life is a preparation room for death. And so there are two groups of people in which death really brings fear and anxiety. The first group, those who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This must be a fearful time for them to think about death because they've rejected Christ. That's one group. But the second group, they're afraid, they're fearful, and they have this anxiety because they're saved, but they're going to die, and they're not going to have to try to explain why they didn't live for Christ, why they didn't serve God. And so this is the situation Solomon finds himself in. So therefore, he gives some good advice. Verse 4, he says, "But for him who is joined to all the living, there's hope." As long as you're alive, there's hope. "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." And then he says in verse 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going." So if you notice in verse 4, Solomon gives this comparison between a living dog and a dead lion. Now in Scripture, when you study about a dog is used figuratively. It always is used in a contemptuous way. Why is that? Well, the dogs that ran the streets of Jerusalem, they were frail. They were kind of diseased, disgusting to look at. They were sickly. And around here we would say our dog had the mange when I was growing up. The dogs looked like in Israel's day that in this time, Solomon's time, they had the mange. They were rough-looking animals, but one good thing, they were living. They were alive. Verse 4, "Now a living dog is not worth much, but it's alive, and it's living. But notice you have a dead lion." Now the lion, unlike the dog that's real scrawny and diseased and bony and has the mange, just a mutt. That lion was strong. I remember when I was in UNA, the lion would growl, and you could hear it all over that campus. Some of you probably have heard that lion growl over there. That lion was strong. This lion in Scripture, no doubt, was strong. It had this loud roar. It was ferocious. It was the king of the jungle, but it was dead. It's dead. So the question is, what does it mean when the Lord puts a living dog along beside a dead lion? Well, it means that one with the least ability, one with the least talent, one with the least skill, when it's put to use, is more valuable than the one with the greatest ability, the greatest skill, the greatest talent, but refuses to commit themselves to the service of the Lord. That's what that means. People say, "Well, I'll teach, but I can't teach as well as some." They'll say, "Well, I'll sing in a choir, but I can't sing as well as some sing." And some say, "Well, I'll witness, but I can't witness like some witness." Or, "I'll serve in that position on that committee, but I really can't serve like some can serve." They're little dogs doing what they can to accomplish what they can for the kingdom, while those who are well-skilled and well-trained those that are greatly gifted are just doing nothing. Nothing. Therefore, God says they're dead dogs. They're live dogs, but they're dead lions. And so this morning, I was thinking, this morning as we've gathered together, God is scanning this congregation and He sees living dogs, but He also sees dead lions. So if you're taking notes, the outline is this. The world has always been filled with dead lions. Always. The lion, they live, they die, they accomplish very little for their fellow man while they're alive. Good illustration of that is found in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, and I'm going to read verse 19 through 21. You're familiar with this. Listen. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, this is the rich man that went to hell. But before he went to hell, this is what he did. He was wealthy. He was rich. He had everything that he needed. He fared sumptuously, had no want for anything every day. Verse 20 says, but there was a... Now, he was a lion. That rich man was a lion. But verse 20 says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. There's one laying at his gate, desiring, verse 21, to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So you have the rich man faring sumptuously. Then you have this beggar outside his gate. And then the poor man outside the gate depended on the dogs to come and give him comfort. But not the rich man, not the lion. Of course, not the lion. He had plenty of wealth. He had plenty of food. Crumbs fell from the table. The dogs were waiting for those crumbs. This rich man had rather the dogs comfort his neighbor than for himself to minister to his neighbor. So the world has always been filled with dead lions. The lion roars on Wall Street, and what happens? We're in trouble. Or the lion roars on Wall Street, and what happens? Interest rates goes up, or interest rates come down, but they're no earthly good, really. They're just dead lions. Another example in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Familiar passage, and I'm spoke of this last week. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? He was a lion, so to speak. And so he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, tonight your soul, or this night your soul will be required of you. Whose then, or then whose will these things be which you have provided? And so it is who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This morning, I want to thank you who make an investment in the kingdom work here at Mountain View, whether it's small or whether it's large. Some little, some large, some little, some much. But you put your wealth to work before you die. That's very important. Heard this years ago. It says, remember, you need to give while you're living where you'll know where it's going. That's so important. 11 years ago, longer than that, 1995. In 1995, we built the building that has previously been destroyed by the tornado. And we started a stewardship campaign. I'll never forget this, and some of you remember it. But we had a victory goal, we had a victory goal, we had a challenge goal, we had a hallelujah goal for a total of so much money. And so we asked people to give. And we asked people to give weekly or monthly or yearly. And so we gave those cards out just to see what was the prospect of how much money that we'd be receiving during the, trying to count the cost. of what we would receive. And cards came in, and virtually all the cards came back that was going to come back. And I was going through and trying to add up the totals, those weekly, those monthly, those that were going to give yearly. And so I came across this one card, and it said weekly, zero. And it said monthly, zero. And it said yearly, zero. And it said total, zero. As a dead lion. Are you a dead lion when it comes to giving? Are you a dead lion when it comes to attending? Are you a dead lion when it comes to serving? Are you letting the dogs take care of the kingdom work while you're building bigger barns for yourself? According to our text, it's better to be a living dog than a dead lion. But you say, preacher, I don't have much to give. Well, the smallest gift, the smallest talent, the smallest ability when put to use is more valuable than the greatest gift and the greatest talent and the greatest ability when used. So first of all, you've always had deadlines. Secondly, if you're taking notes, an opportunity of the present is better than a great opportunity of the past. An opportunity of the present is greater than an opportunity of the past. Notice verse 10, if you will, in our text. My dad often quoted this text when he prayed, but this is what Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there's no work, there's no device, or no knowledge, or no wisdom in the grave where you're going." You know, the grave kind of stops everything, doesn't it? It stops it all. Your someday is over with. You know, I'll teach someday, or I'll attend someday, or I'll give someday, or I'll serve someday. The grave kind of stops it all. And so the preacher said, hey, you need to do what you can do now, the very best you can do now with what you have, because there's no device, there's no work, there's no device, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in the grave where you're going. So what are you going to do for whatever you do for the Lord? You have to do it now. So the question is, what have you done for the Lord this week? This week. Have you had an opportunity to serve the Lord in some way this week? You know, oftentimes our service is limited to the church. We come to church, we serve in the church, and that's good, and we have to have people serving here at the church. But have you taken an opportunity to serve the Lord in some way this week? Have you passed up an opportunity to serve? So the point is, I'm not referring to your past involvement. I'm referring to your present involvement in serving. Who cares if you were on fire for the Lord 40 years ago? The smallest little spark is much greater than just a dead lump of coal. And so what are you doing for the Lord now? It's better to be a living dog, he says, than a dead lion. So the point, you and I have an opportunity to serve the Lord today. So take time and ask the Lord, how can I serve you today? How can I serve in the church? How can I serve in my community? How can I serve in my town? How can I serve in my school? How can I serve the Lord day after day after day? In Jesus' name, I'm doing this. In Jesus' name, I'm serving the Lord. But please remember, if you're not going to help, then when the church is trying to serve, don't go roaring about it. And that happens quite often. So any recent opportunities to serve is better than the greatest opportunity in the past. So we're not talking about the past. We're talking about present opportunities. So the point is, it's not what you've done in the past, but it's what you're doing today for the Lord that matters. And so you'll always have deadlines. It's not about what you did in the past, but what are you willing to do now? And then third, and I'll close with this. You and I have a priceless gift today. And that's life. We have life today. Verse 10. Notice what he says in verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. We have today, God willing, today you have that gift of life. And that means as believers, we have another day to serve the Lord. We have today to serve the Lord. We need to capture the opportunity of today to serve the Lord. And so this morning, you may be here and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You're without Christ and you're thinking about death and that's coming. It's kind of interesting, you know, when you look back in biblical history, you had all those people that lived a great number of years. I jotted down just a few. You had Adam live 930 years, but he died. You had Methuselah live 969 years. It's a long time. And he died. You had a man in Brazil I was reading about, lived 134 years. Oldest man ever lived. Then he died. So at the end of every life, there's this death. And life is short. The Bible says it's like a vapor on a window glass. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. It's like grass and it withers. We're seeing that happen now as the seasons change. It's lush green and now it's brown and soon it'll be dead. So God has blessed us with another day. And those without Christ, you can be saved today. Today. Yesterday, you can't do nothing about the past, but you have today. A great king by the name of Charlemagne, he reigned in 800 to 814. Great king of Europe. He'd been called the father of Europe. It's been told that when Charlemagne died, that he was set upright in a sepulchre. A sepulchre is different than a grave. A grave is in the ground, jarred to the time as we know it today. But a sepulchre was in a cave. It was in a wall type sepulchre. But they put him in the sepulchre. They set him upright, and then they put they set him on a gold throne. The throne was gold, and then they put a gold crown upon his brow. And then they set a scepter in his stiff hand, arm and hand. But none of those things gave him power or dominion in the world whatsoever, a Charlemagne. So the question is, would you like to trade places with a dead lion today? Or would you like to be that living dog, just doing the best you can in the shape that you are? Take the training that you have and just exhaust yourself in serving our Lord. Would you be willing to do that? Let's have a prayer together. Father, I come to you and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the comparison that we've seen in the scripture, the living dog and the dead lion. And so, Father, I thank you for those who are willing to use the spiritual gifts that they have, the natural abilities that they have, just do the best with what you've given them, Lord, in serving you. I don't know what we'd do if we didn't have people who are just willing to serve. But there are others, Father, who are so gifted and so talented, so blessed in many ways. And so I pray that you've spoken to their hearts today, that they'll be willing to let go, serve you while they have this opportunity. Lord, while they can serve you during their lifetime. Thank you for what you've done in the past and those who you've sent over the years and how the church has carried on for over 100 years. And now you have us here. And we pray, Lord, we'll be just as committed as those in the past. Father, I thank you for each person here and for those who have never trusted you as Lord and Savior of their life. I pray that they'd come today. Say, Brother Sammy, I want to be saved. And Father, turn from their sin, turn to you. Trust in faith, believe the gospel that you came and died on the cross for their sins. You arose again. One day you're coming back, and Lord, commit themselves to serving you until you call them home or until you come back to receive us. Thank you for what you're going to do in this invitation hymn. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Terry's going to come and lead us in an invitation.